Today on Pilgrim Radio's His People, Sandra Peoples on how churches can include those with disabilities and their families.
And we know that one in 36 families has a child with autism. And so that is a huge number and a huge opportunity, I think, for God to show off, to show His love for these families. And so we just have to be willing. We have to say, man, there's a mission field in every community, on every neighborhood that our churches are placed. And we just have to be ready to make some changes, make them feel welcome, and see what God will do.
Sandra Peoples next. Sandra Peoples views those with disabilities and their families as a mission field, and she's encouraging churches to be sure they are accessible to the disabled community. She's an instructor in disabilities ministry and author of Accessible Church. Sandra, tell us why you have such a heart for disability ministry and, of course, for disabled people.
Yeah, so I grew up with a sister with Down syndrome, and so I have been part of a special needs family my entire life. And, you know, growing up with a sister with Down syndrome has challenges and blessings, and but one thing that made life a lot easier was that our church welcomed our family. We were actually the fourth generation of our family to go to the small church in a town in Oklahoma, and they made it accessible for her, and therefore making it accessible for our whole family. They didn't have to really have a formal disability ministry. They just met the needs that my sister had, and then met the needs of so many other people in our community that had disabilities. And so that was all I knew when I was a child and growing up. And then in 2010, my husband was pastoring a church in Pennsylvania, and our three-year-old son, James, was diagnosed with autism. Mm. And so what I had kind of taken for granted growing up in my family with my sister at this accessible church suddenly wasn't available to me and to our son, James. We looked around and thought, oh, there's no other special needs families here. We're going to have to make some changes. We're going to have to do some things differently so that they feel comfortable coming here. And that church ran about 125, 150 people. And so it was the size of church that might say, oh, we're too small to do anything like that. But they didn't. God had already placed people in that church with education and experience and just a heart for people with disabilities. And so everybody got trained on best practices for welcoming James. We hosted outreach events. We made everything that we did accessible to kids with disabilities. And so that really showed me what was possible at a church. And so in the years since then, we've moved from Pennsylvania to Texas, and my husband's pastoring a new church now, and that church has grown in accessibility. And so I've just seen it in so many different areas, and I want that for every church and every family that's like mine.
Well, Sandra, is it possible to say what percentage of families have a family member with a disability, and sort of secondarily, how well equipped? And I realize you don't know the situation with every church in the country, but how well equipped do you believe the average church is to welcome such families?
Yeah, there are quite a few studies that can kind of help us put all that those numbers together. And so a recent census said that one in five families in the U.S. has a member with a disability. Now, that ranges from autism to Alzheimer's. That just incorporates all kinds of different disabilities. But that gives us an idea that about 20% of our communities believe that they have a member with a disability. I talked to my school district to kind of say, okay, how many kids and teenagers do we have in our suburb of Houston that have learning disabilities and behavioral diagnosis and cognitive disabilities? And at our school district, it's 24%. Mm. So it's close to one in five.
Wow.
Here. So like one in four. So that, I mean, really, these aren't just numbers. These are representing real families and real kids. And I think, okay, well, if they need modifications at school in order to learn and grow, then they're going to need modifications at church as well. And so are our churches ready? Well, Lifeway did a study back in 2020, And they asked Protestant pastors, evangelical pastors, is your church welcoming for people with disabilities? And 99% of the pastors said yes. But when families heard that number, they were not nearly as optimistic about that as pastors were. And they said, well, we as a family can't walk into 99% of churches and feel welcome. And so there was kind of a disconnect there in what a church believed was true about themselves and what families were actually experiencing. So from the best we can tell, Johnny and Friends, which is an international organization, they say that 15 to 18% of churches are prepared to welcome families with disabilities. So there's a lot of potential for growth.
And of course, the term disability carries with it so many different variations, whether intellectual disability or physical disability or something like autism, such as your son has. What for you, and again, I guess it could vary depending upon the kind of disability we're talking about, but what is important to you as a family that fits within somebody that has that kind of need that would show you that a church is equipped to welcome you?
I think there's two parts to it. There's the actual accessibility of the church, and then there's the attitudes of the church members. And so we can look at mega churches that have everything we could imagine, like special needs ministry suites or whole buildings dedicated to it. And normal sized churches might say, well, we can never do that. But that's not actually what families are asking for. When we look at what families want, they say we want our child to be safe, and we want our child to feel loved. And churches of every size can do that. So they don't have to do everything. They just have to take some steps to make some changes, make the environments more sensory accessible, if that's what the kids need, modify the curriculum so the gospel is more easily understood. There's lots of steps we can take that help everybody. And part of that is asking that family, what do you need? Like, we don't have to do everything to meet the needs of these families that come, but we can say, hey, are there ways that we can make some changes that would make your family more comfortable with us? And then learn from that family, because they're really the experts in their family member's disability, and then take the steps that we can in order to help them feel more comfortable.
So when you say sensory accessible, when I think of that, I think of that might apply particularly to families with your situation with a child with autism. What does that mean, sensory accessible?
Yeah, it can mean a lot of things. So a lot of kids with autism and other diagnosis can be either sensory seekers, so they want more and more sensory input, or they may be sensory avoiders. And that means all sensory things can feel overwhelming to them. So if you come to our church on a Sunday, we have a coat rack in our lobby. And on that coat rack are noise-reducing headphones hanging from the top. And so children and teenagers and adults can come in and they can grab a pair of these noise-reducing headphones and they put it on. And it just kind of turns down the noise of everything for them. So that way they're better able to focus on the sermon or singing along with their families. So that's just one sensory input. Sometimes kids can get fidgety. They can feel like they need to move. And so we put something in their hands. And so if we give them the opportunity for a little bit of movement, it helps their brains be able to focus more. So we have these bags hanging in our lobby, and it says, there's even a tag on it that says, feeling fidgety, sensory overload, grab a bag on your way in and take advantage. And so it has like poppets and spinners and different things that we've learned can really benefit kids with ADHD and autism and other sensory needs. And then on our children's ministry hall, we've created a sensory room. And so we have a room on the kid ministry hall where any of our kids can go if they feel overwhelmed, if they need a break from the noise of the classroom. And we have like a calming corner in there. And so the lights are turned down a little bit, and there's a trampoline and a swing, some opportunities for movement. And it just helps them regulate their bodies so that they're more comfortable in our ministry settings.
And so obviously we're talking about children with disabilities and being making a church accessible for them, welcoming for them. What about adults? I mean, the children grow up and they have some of the same issues. How do you incorporate adults with disabilities into the church?
Well, we have a key question that we ask, and it applies to children and teens and adults with disabilities. And we say, what kind of environment can this person best hear, understand, and respond to the gospel? And so that helps us kind of have this filter for what kind of class do we need to create, or what kind of ministry environment do we need to create? Because our goal is this person hearing, understanding, and responding to the gospel. So when our kids get out of children's ministry, there's this youth ministry experience, and they can either go to the typical youth ministry environment and get help from a buddy, is what we call it, so an adult who's trained, or they have a different class that they can go into, the one that my son James is in. And that environment and curriculum are designed to meet his learning needs and his sensory needs. And so kids and young adults and children with Down syndrome, intellectual disabilities, autism levels 2 and 3, they're a good fit for what we call our reverse inclusion class, because we invite typical teenagers in so they can be friends. And then we have an adult class. Yeah, so James, once he gets out of his teenager youth group class, he'll go into this adult class. And again, the curriculum is designed so that he can understand it and respond to it. It has kind of a more adult look. It's not on the hall with our other children's ministry classes. They have a coffee bar in there, so it has an adult feel to it. But still, the curriculum is geared toward what they can understand and what they can respond to. Now, there's other people with maybe autism level 1 or physical disabilities, and they're in our regular adult ministry classes, and they're in our music ministry, and they're serving in different areas. And so really, the filter that we kind of look through is, where can this person have access to the gospel? And we create that environment if it's needed, but then we just offer support in what education space is called the least restrictive environment. So we're going to put them in the least restrictive environment, which would be kind of a typical classroom, if they're able to do that with help from a buddy. And then adults often are either in regular adult ministry classes or in our specialized class.
Well, my guest today on His People is Sandra Peoples, and she has quite a background in disability ministry. She is a church consultant in that area. She also teaches classes online for Liberty University in disability ministry, and she has a new book out called Accessible Church, A Gospel-Centered Vision for Including People with Disabilities and Their Families. And Sandra, I want to ask you more, of course, specifically about disability ministries and how churches can make people, individuals and families that have disabled members feel comfortable, feel welcome. But I want to ask you a little bit about the theology of it, a little bit about what the scripture would say. Can we actually lay out a theology of disability according to God's word?
I think that this is the best place to start. Even before you kind of start talking about the nuts and bolts of what accessibility looks like, let's talk about what we believe about disability. And this theme of disability runs all the way from Genesis to Revelation. And so it starts at the very beginning when we talk about people being created in the image of God. That includes people with disabilities being created in the image of God. And so they have value, they have worth, they have purpose in their design. Exodus 4, which is one of my favorite passages on this idea of disability, God is talking to Moses and calling him to go before Pharaoh. And Moses says, well, I can't do that because I'm slow of speech. So we think maybe he had a speech impediment or something that was keeping him from thinking he could fulfill God's purpose for him. Mm-hmm. And God says, I know how I made you. I designed you on purpose. And so he said, you're going to be able to fulfill this purpose even with the limitations that you have. And so it just shows me that God has such a loving design for us. We see that again in Psalm 139, where David says, you knit me together in my mother's womb. We see that in the Gospels, reflected in Jesus's interactions with people with disabilities. He's always kind. He's always restoring them back to the community. His miracles, in part, are about healing people, but it's also about restoring their relationships. It's giving them access again to their families and to the family of faith that they might not have been able to be a part of because of being considered unclean. And So I just love that we can trace God's hand and God's heart through all of Scripture to say we can see God's goodness even in disabilities and his design for people. And then Paul even says church bodies are incomplete without our members that seem weaker, but actually they are indispensable. And so when we look around our churches, are there people that we might consider weaker people that need the support and love and care of their church family? Because they're not going to get it from the world. They're not going to get it from these other places that don't see the full value that we see in each person.
So in God's eyes, I mean, we're really all disabled. When you think of in terms of sin, for example.
Right. Yeah, that is true. Yeah. And then I kind of think of there's all of us are needy people. Mm-hmm. And those of us who are typical, we try to hide that neediness a lot. We try to be really independent. We try not to need each other. And people with disabilities can't hide that neediness. And I just think, what is God teaching us through these people about what it means to be part of community and depend on Him? And how can we learn from their experiences? What does He teach them in ongoing suffering? I mean, whether that's physical suffering or suffering from just the world not being created in ways that are friendly to them, we can learn from their experiences and really gain our own spiritual insights from what they have to teach us.
I was absolutely going to ask you that. What can we learn from people that have a disability, whatever it might be, and how can we learn to develop empathy, if you will, for them?
That's a great question. I think part of it is moving from this sense of pity to friendship, and then even to seeing them as co-laborers, like I said, as our church is being incomplete without their service. And so when I see a person with a disability at my church, do I only see them as recipients of ministry or my service to them, or do I see them as being able to serve me and encourage the body in lots of different ways? I think that idea of endurance is one of the best ways when we just think, you think of Johnny Erickson Tata, mm-hmm. who's been a quadriplegic for decades. Think of what she has to teach us about God's sustaining grace in her life, morning after morning. Most of us will not experience that in the same way that she's experiencing it. And so if I were to look across my congregation and see Johnny Erickson Tata worshiping right alongside me, what an encouragement that would be to say we're praising the same God who got Johnny up and here this morning, and he got me up and here this morning, and we're joining our voices in praise of what he can do in our lives. And it's just such an encouragement, I think, especially on our harder days, to say, what can our brothers and sisters teach us about God's faithfulness and our endurance in the kinds of suffering that we may be called to for different seasons.
And as you've been explaining, Sandra, churches taking various measures, as you've explained, can make themselves welcoming, accessible to people with disabilities, families with disabilities. And I'm wondering, what about in terms of integrating people with disabilities into the life of the church? I mean, not only having ministry that's aimed at them or for them, but actually having them involved in the life of the ministry of the church, where they have their own ministry to people in the body or to people that maybe are coming to visit, etc.
Yeah, I think that's great. I think part of the question is, we know that everybody has a spiritual gift and a way that they build up the body. And so what are the gifts that these people with disabilities have that we can utilize? And so I think of somebody who maybe prefers a quiet environment and they're very detail oriented. They could come in during the week and fill the back of the pews or the back of the seats to make sure that every one of those has an envelope for giving or a visitor card or a pen because the environment's quiet at that time. Mm-hmm. They can come in and get that done. A lot of our friends who are so friendly and welcoming, we can put them on the greeter team and they can be ready to welcome people. There's churches where they have these big signs that say, you are welcome here. And their members with disabilities hold those signs and communicate this sense of welcoming. And And there's ways my sister who had Down syndrome, she was great with kids. And so she could serve alongside our mom at vacation Bible school or a nursery kind of experience. And so just assuming that there is a way for them to serve is the first step to say, God has given them gifts and abilities just like he's given me for the purpose of building up the church. They may need help in doing that, but don't we all need help in fulfilling our calling? I mean, sure. That's the way we're designed. And so even when we look back at Moses, when Moses was saying, I don't know if I can do this, God says, okay, well, I'll provide your brother Aaron. Aaron is a strong speaker. And so sometimes we're Moses and we need help. Sometimes we're Aaron and we're providing help. But none of us can do this on our own. And so there's so many opportunities for our friends with disabilities to be able to not only be discipled, but to serve the church with their gifts.
And as you've been explaining throughout, Sandra, the aim to make them feel welcome, families with individuals with disabilities or the people themselves. And yet part of that, the other side of the coin of that is I hear you saying that, well, for many families that have a disabled family member, that may be a barrier for them to attending church. They may feel that it's just not possible.
Yeah. And part of this is we may need to start our sense of welcoming and belonging even on our church website. So does our church website communicate this is a welcoming place? And so we, on our church website, we have a spot that says disability ministry, and here's what that looks like. On our children's ministry page, we have details about what accessibility steps we take, especially for a family, like maybe they have a child with ADHD and they don't consider themselves a special needs family or really needing a disability ministry, but their child does benefit from some support. And so we communicate all that on the website. And then there's ways that we can really just love our communities through outreach events. Our church did a disability-friendly vacation Bible school. And so we had regular vacation Bible school where kids could come if they were able to participate with help from a buddy. But if they had higher needs, we created a vacation Bible school just for them. And so we're known in our community as a church that welcomes kids and teens and adults with disabilities, and that makes a difference for families, no matter what stage they're in, knowing that there's a church out there that is seeking them out, not just putting up with them if they show up, but saying, no, we want you here. We want to go to you, let you know what we have, and bring you in, because we know that you need the hope of the gospel, and we know where to find it. And so let's focus on that evangelism and discipleship for these families so that they can be part of our church families.
Well, Sandra, as you mentioned, or I guess as I introduced you, you teach classes in disability ministry for Liberty University. What does that look like? I mean, are you preparing people for a full-time career in this, or is it something for the church to integrate? I mean, what does that look like?
Yeah, it's kind of both. And so Liberty, and there's a few other schools as well that have either minors or majors in disability ministry. And so somebody at Liberty, for example, might be majoring in children's ministry, and then they minor in disability ministry, and then they're able to welcome all the kids that God might bring to their churches. Other schools focus a little more on a theology of disability, those passages that we talked about. But I like to be a practitioner, and so I like to say, how do we make churches accessible to everybody? And I think in the future, I mean, the next 2, 3, 5 years, I think more of our seminaries and Christian universities will either have degree options in this or at least offer classes. I mean, just think about if we had more pastors taking classes in how do we care for families impacted by disability? What a difference that could make on the mission field, all these special needs families that right now don't attend church, and then how much better would they feel equipped to sit with a family who has just gotten a diagnosis, whether that diagnosis is autism when the kiddo is 3 or a car wreck that leads to traumatic brain injury for an adult in their 20s, or even Alzheimer's and end of life kind of diagnosis that can come, I think every pastor would feel better equipped to shepherd his church family if he had an opportunity for even a class like that.
Are there certain qualities that a person you believe might be particularly able or gifted to serve in this kind of ministry to people with disabilities?
Yeah, I think one of them is compassion, care, also creativity. I'm preparing right now to go on a mission trip, and we're going to care for special needs families. And with all this planning, there's just so many things we can't know. And so what I've told my team is, we're going to have to be creative. We're going to have to be flexible. And these are characteristics that help us every Sunday at our churches to say, we don't know what could happen on any Sunday, but the more we just lead with love and compassion and care, then I think God answers those questions, brings the resources, brings answers to mind, and then just allows us this creativity and this flexibility to say, hey, we're going to keep figuring this out. We're going to do what we can to keep these families in our churches and do all these different ways of helping them feel loved and cared for.
Well, the book is Accessible Church, a Gospel-Centered Vision for Including People with Disabilities and Their Families. My guest is the author, Sandra Peoples. Well, Sandra, our time has gone very quickly, but I'm wondering, for those hearing this and would like to incorporate this aspect of awareness, if you will, of ministry to their church, where would they start if they say, you know, I don't think we really have an awareness of this in our church?
I think the best way to start is if you do have a family, even if you have one family, and maybe even only half of the family comes, but you know they have a member with a disability, start by asking questions. Start by saying, are there ways that we can make your family feel more welcome in this space? There's lots of special needs ministries or disability ministries that start because a family kept coming and they were willing to answer all the questions that the ministry team had and said, here's what you can do if my child gets overwhelmed. Here are the things that he loves to talk about if you want to engage him. And so they take time to get to know each individual family and even each individual member of that family. They make accessibility accommodations for that family, and then it just makes it easier for the next family that comes and the next family and the next family. And like I said, in a lot of churches, it starts in children's ministry, and it starts with a what we call a buddy, so an adult or an older teenager who's trained in some of these ways to best meet needs. So in our classes, our children's ministry classes, we have buddies who are available there, whether it's to support a child one-on-one, or if we have a couple of kids, ADHD and autism and anxiety and those kind of invisible disabilities, we call them. Our buddies are there to support any of the needs that they have. And so asking questions, being willing to make some changes, and then just really getting to know each person as an individual are the best first steps to take.
Any last thoughts, Sandra? Words of encouragement?
I mean, I've had decades in a special needs family, and I have to say I have never been more optimistic and excited about this field than I am now. I just think churches are getting it. They understand the mission field that is out there. They're willing to make some changes. And I just feel like revival is coming for special needs families. There was a study that said 84% of families that have a child with autism do not attend church. And we know that one in 36 families has a child with autism. And so that is a huge number and a huge opportunity, I think, for God to show off, to show his love for these families. And so we just have to be willing. We have to say, man, there's a mission field in every community, on every neighborhood that our churches are placed. And we just have to be ready to make some changes, make them feel welcome, and see what God will do.
You've been listening to His People on Pilgrim Radio. Many thanks to our guest, Sandra Peoples, author of Accessible Church. Go to accessible-church.com. Tomorrow on His People, Mark Fairchild on the evidence that the Apostle Paul was possibly a slave.
Well, if we look at just raw statistics, the vast bulk of the people who are not Roman, who have acquired Roman citizenship, were former slaves.
That's tomorrow at the same time, right here on His People. Thanks for listening.